bless the Lord. I gave myself a topic. I trust it's the Holy Spirit topic. And on something like responding to criticism, conflicts with conviction. I have found myself, because maybe my age now, and my loss of hair, and my years of experience, being involved a good deal in helping arbitrate, in consulting, or just listening. And I still have a lot of work to do, you know, in these areas. I could use a lot of names today. It will be very difficult when I go into this subject to not use some names. So I will be discreet, and yet at the same time, I might go so off the cuff that I just will forget about some of that. So again, Father, thank you for this time, and ask for your grace and your articulation, and to help me do what matters. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we're living in a pretty complex kind of time. It's like a maze. And how do you get, where's the cheese? I don't know if you understand what that even means, but in my growing up, I was a bit of a, at one point in time, I was a bit of a science buff. And my father, having a lumber yard and being a carpenter and things of that nature, he helped me do really well in 4-H and woodworking and in all of my projects. And so he and I succeeded really well. And so my dad got a lot of blue ribbons. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. In woodworking in particular. And then so we built these mazes that I had these pet hamsters and also aquariums, which I still have to this day. And I'm just going to go with what's popping in me for the moment. And at one point in time, I wanted to be a Jacques Cousteau. Now, you might not even know who a Jacques Cousteau is. And he studied the underwater living. And I was fascinated with this. Well, the internet didn't exist. And so all there was libraries. Well, the little bitty town that I lived in obviously did not have such a thing as a library except for the school library. And when I was in the third grade, I read all the books that was in the third grade library, and I read all the books that was in the fourth grade library. And so they actually wanted me to skip the third grade and skip the fourth grade and go to the fifth grade, because that was kind of the nerdy bookworm or curious. I'm just going to go with what's popping in me, a Jacques Cousteau. Now, you might not even know who a Jacques Cousteau is. And he studied the underwater living. And I was fascinated with this. Well, the internet didn't exist. And so all there was libraries. Well, the little bitty town that I lived in obviously did not have such a thing as a library except for the school library. And when I was in the third grade, I read all the books that was in the third grade library, and I read all the books that was in the fourth grade library. And so they actually wanted me to skip the third grade and skip the fourth grade and go to the fifth grade, because that was kind of the nerdy bookworm or curious kind of child that I was. Now, so When it came to high school and biology and all of these wonderful classes, isn't this what you expected to hear today? Isn't this what you came to hear from an intergalactical prophet? See, these issues are a part of a stamp that get put on a person's life. And so for the science fair, so I had this whole idea that, you know, is going to have this one of my hamsters, two, three of my hamsters, and go through this maze for 21 days and time them, you know, and then build a glass house, and the hamster would live in the glass house underwater. And I know, Jesus help me, this will not take too long. And you know, a glass house underwater in the aquarium, and the hamster be able to watch, you know, the fish all swimming around. And I actually did it. And then after, I don't remember how many days of that, I had to actually cut that short. So maybe that was going to be 14 days or something. And then comparative study. And to see then what was the effect of the underwater living, you know, because I believed that the housing crisis that was going to come on the earth from out of overpopulation, because I lived in a rural community and God knows that there was plenty of room for expansion, but was going to be not on Mars or the moon, but was going to be in the ocean. And that was where this brain was going. And I was actually thinking and pondering upon a kind of permeable, something, I don't think it still exists, that would be a wall that oxygen could float through, but that the water couldn't. But since I hadn't invented that yet, I had to use glass for my house, a glass house. I am going to go somewhere with this. A glass house. So my father helped me. But it was my idea. My father helped me. But it was my idea. We actually constructed a glass house. A top, a bottom, the four sides. I used silicon glue to put it all together. Had an inflow of oxygen, had a treadmill on the inside of the thing, put the hamster in there, had food, had an oxygen that tube that would go in. The problem is, I had inflow, but I had no outflow. And doo-doo would pile up. I had food, but I didn't process some of the other necessary pieces. But listen, it was a pretty good idea. So whatever length of time that I was going to have the hamster, they end up cutting short the number of days, whatever it was. But they did go through the maze for 21 days, and I timed it. And sometimes the hamster hit its head against the wall or whatever. Hey, have you ever bumped your head against the wall in your process to where's the cheese? To find the promise to your purpose? Huh. Not you. Or into the prophetic? We think it's all going to be neat and tidy. And because it's been declared, and in particularly in a public manner, that it's all then going to be ding, there it is. And particularly if now you have been presented in a glass house, which I have been in a glass house for a lot of my life. But guess what? My kids never volunteered to be in a glass house. Mm-mm. And then after with my hamster, and I decided to terminate how many days he was actually was going to be in the glass house. How many of us have done that? Then I put it back in the maze. And guess what happened with Charlie? When I put it back into the maze, it went, boing. Charlie didn't last real long. My experiment didn't turn out the way I was hoping it would. I'm test. But I was ahead of my time, at least. I'm still ahead of my time. Okay, now, I know that that was a rather animated and, well, hey, I'm here. It's me. Okay, what else were you expecting? I am Jack in the Box, so you wind me up and something pops out. Okay, all right, okay, now. Now, you all know that I can be very sometimes organized, yes, and do it very much in order, and it can be very boring, too. So, I've also learned to make you smile and then deliver the goods. Okay? Okay, so, I'm using an illustration from my life that I hope will stamp you in some way that you will remember, because I remember it really well. And in the 11th chapter of the Discerner book, I wrote a chapter on the necessity of creating a safe place. And that is what we need. And it is often what we don't have. Part of that is because of our own doings. Part of it is because of, on the prophetic realm, is because it is always a bit of an experiment. It is always a bit of a forerunner. It is a bit of a to be an element of a breaker. Micah 2:13-14. That goes before and creates a breakthrough that others can pass on and go through, and maybe they then will not have to pay the same price. Learn the lessons from. But in the midst of all of this, and having myself having been a part of so many different moves of God, I lift up a cry that is needed. Integrity matters. I don't care if you're a, I do care. If you're a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, an apostle, a gift of helps, a ministry of healing, an administration, or whatever it is. Integrity matters. And if you're going to make it through the maze, and if you're going to live in a glass house, amen. And if you're going to make it to the end, integrity matters. I've only ever known one woman. And I've never known a man. Okay? You go, well, that's ridiculous for you to make such a statement. It's not in the day we live. Scripturally, legally? That issue is extremely clear. Now, boundaries are extraordinarily important. And whoever you are, if you're going to travel to the nations, you better have your boundaries in place. I know what it's like to be exhausted, tired. And do you know what happens when you get tired? Gray things come into being. That tiredness just seeps in. Or how about the voices that come about elitism? You know you're special. You know your needs are special. No, they're not. Your needs are the same as any other man or woman. Now, at the same time, your circumstances might be different than someone else's, but are your boundaries already decided? I have core values that I live by. I have spoken about them. They're written in my book, Tell Your Heart to Sing Again, Rediscovering Hope for Your Life. I have core values I live by. So when temptation knocks at my door, I don't even go to answer. Now, maybe that's a little bit exaggerated. Probably so. But the reality is what I'm trying to say is that I have already made decisions that then when temptation comes, and it does, and it has, stalkers, this, that, all this ridiculous spiritual warfare is decisions, so that then I don't have to make a decision in the time of the knock at the door. All right, do not, see, I hope you understand just this one little issue. I don't have to make that decision then. I've already made it. In fact, I have a wall that's already established, a wall of salvation around my life. I have had crazy women from California. While the Women on the Front Lines 25th Annual Conference was going on at Belmont Church, move 5 minutes away from my house in Franklin because they believed that God told them. God did not tell them. And my girls got so ticked that while that was going on, they went to my house and put new locks on every door of my house. Hallelujah, glory to God. Praise. I'm serious. That's the kind of I have had to deal with, not just stuff on the internet, not just books this thick that get mailed to me, and I go, this don't feel right. Pass it to someone else, and they go, want to puke. And it's nothing more than a form of a Jezebel type of, hey, will you do a review? No. Because there's such a thing called boundaries. Now, where we are today, some institutions, some churches, some ministries do not have preset boundaries. Afterwards in place to be able to help the victims or to help someone who has fallen. And we need to have love, care, and concern on the one who is the victimizer, the one who has been caught, and those that are just gotten swept up into it. We need to have some redemptive understanding for all three. You know, in the video vlog and stuff that I released concerning the Sean Bowles stuff, you know, I included something that I don't know that anybody else has. I've known him since he was 17, 18 years old. I was one of his first instructors. He was a godly. I know his parents. I know his sister. He didn't start off freaky. He started off as a prodigy. He started off as a single young man that was just like very extremely pure heart. He started off as a virgin. In fact, this whole thing with him is not even about extramarital affairs or anything like that. It's not at all. It's actually kind of blown out of proportion on that end. But, you know, I might be one of the only people. I'm not saying I'm the only person that might be engaged in, because I don't know. In steps of caring. But, you know, I care that he gets restored. I've been through so many things that dealt with when Bob Jones went into a dark time. I know about Paul Kane's more than weaknesses. I know historically about Alexander Dowie. I know about William Branham. I know the histories of highly gifted people. I talked about this in my last book on standing strong in the anointing. Then how often we wrongly go into hero worship. And we put people in a wrong way into on a pedestal. And then when Dagon falls, the debris that happens, the disillusionment that occurs. And I get it. I understand. The Jimmy Swaggart issue, the Baker issue, and on and on and on. I've lived through these things. And this is not going to be the last. But could we learn lessons of wisdom? Could we learn about what's needed on mercy? Could we learn about the steps of recovery? And we are learning. Things are getting better. On trauma recovery, that's a big issue in all this. Okay? I mean, my hamster hit its head, and it was like, oh, my gosh, you know what? It couldn't finish the maze because it had some trauma. It was put into a glass house. Integrity matters. Boundaries matter. Listen. How many crazy, wonderful movements I have been a part of. Jerry knows. The Jesus People movement, the evangelical movement, the discipleship movement. You want to hear some horror stories? I know them firsthand, and I know the glory. I wasn't in the middle of the Word of Faith, but I went to Kenneth Hagin's camp meetings, the Third Wave movement. I didn't just read the books. I was in the 101, 201 Signs and Wonders gatherings of John Wimber. I helped introduce Mahesh Shabda to John Wimber. Prophetic movement. I prayed for 10 straight years for the School of the Prophets to come into being. The apostolic. I don't even believe NAR is an entity But I do understand the concerns. And I am a part of Harvest International Ministries on the apostolic team with Cheon, who half of the stuff that's being said about him is nonsense. I was on a Zoom meeting with him, with Wesley and Stacy Campbell and Charles and Ann Stock and Brian and Candace Simmons, which some people are declaring that the Passion Translation is heresy. And I just did a foreword for it. Huh. So I have a whole list, if you want to really search me out, that would say Don Finto is questionable. It's true. Just depends upon what camp you're talking. The movements I have been a part of, I have not just been there, done that, have the t-shirt. I am a survivor, but listen to the word, I'm a thriver. Someday I will teach, in the past I did, on catching and surviving every wave that I want to reteach. I have to have the place. Catching, surviving, and thriving. So, but how? What about this culture that's going on today? Cover-up culture. You know what? There is an element of truth. There is. I didn't say it's the truth. There is some truth. The Holy Spirit spoke this phrase to me, but in speaking to me, it's for us. But it's to me, he said. If you, now who's you? You's me, but it's unto the sphere that I walk in. If you would do a better job of self-monitoring, there would be less need for external policing. Now, how about look at some of my roots in the prophetic? I mean, 2 years ago, I just got flat out almost depressed because what I've come from has some a lot of shady stuff, and yet deal with Mike Bickle today. This is hard. And then to find out that he has been a sexual predator with a girl that was 14 different women that's come forward. Lord Jesus, God Almighty. How wrong. It is sickening. It's sad. I am appalled. Where's the boundaries? Where is the authentic integrity? According to the dictionary, integrity is the adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, honesty. It is also defined as the state of being whole, entire, or undiminished. Some Bible verses. Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? I think that is kind of an overall where we are. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? But I yet believe that we are in the midst of a Psalm 24 revival. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart. I still believe that's where we are. And so the Lord is calling forth and allowing greater exposure so that there can be a greater ascending. I believe that it was supposed to be greater conviction, because the way it's worked with me is more light exposes old levels of darkness. But in these days, it appears to be that maybe there has not been the responding to the spirit of conviction, and there's been hardening of hearts and responding to it in the appropriate ways, and we banged our head against walls and not made it to where's the cheese, that the Lord has allowed external policing. Do I think that all the Mike Winger stuff is right? No! But I believe that God's using it? Absolutely. Do I think it's first choice? No! But if you'll humble yourself, look, will you see that could good come? Yes. Listen, I'm interacting with him because he's the one that labeled me falsely the newspaper prophet. I could just get so ticked to throw stones at the guy. And I don't do that. I've done research that I have presented to him to show how he's mistaken. And the Lord showed me not to challenge, but to offer an appeal. And there is a difference. We are to offer our appeal in the spirit of gentleness, lest we too be tempted with that religious spirit. Because that religious spirit only wants us to go tit for tat, this for that. Harden our heart and throw a stone back. We are supposed to walk in the Sermon on the Mount. Bless. Now listen, this isn't always the case. Bless and then walk away. I mean, you guys know that I had this dream where a certain person that I've had a struggle with appears in a dream to me and says, "What time is it, Jerry?" Okay, now, Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. I want to keep the boundaries and the internal place of integrity. I want to have the internal place of knowing I will stand before the judge. And that is more important to me than having every case settled on this side. I have someone in my life that is a spirit-filled judge. I've actually been partially mentored by me, but I don't know law. They are a judge, lawyer. They have sought me out and asked me, because I could have a case for libel. And I have some friends who would have even that greater than I do. And I said, would you like my assistance in filing a case? And I went, well, if this was defamation that dealt with an accusation on sexual immorality, I might, but it does not. So the answer is no. Because I believe in a higher law. And the higher law is the Sermon on the Mount to the court of man. I'm only telling you a tiny part, see. And then because I help others who are high and deep into the accusations that have been released against their lives. And it would take too much time, nor do I need to bring the laundry of others before you. That's improper. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true. Okay, let's mark this one for a moment. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So I now take that kind of grid work and I put it to these social media gurus or accusers or whoever, and I then go, okay, whatsoever thing is good, whatsoever thing is lovely, whatsoever thing is of a good report. Oh, now I'm going to lob some Holy Ghost. Oh, okay. That's spiritual warfare, folks. You think not? Yes, it is. This is a way of responding to criticism. On a phone call that I was with on international leaders recently, I was left with this. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgiveness is one of the highest weapons of spiritual warfare. Okay. Integrity is not perfection. But one can have integrity even while one is still on the journey of becoming. It must also be said that integrity void of love is no longer integrity. If integrity is defined as being upright, whole, and adhering to moral and ethical principles, then we must recognize that love is the highest ethic. We have been called to be, as believers, love for God, love for each other, and love for the lost. To try to have integrity without love is to build a tower of unimpeachable morality where we live isolated from reality and the needs of people around us. The outside world feels the coldness, the distance of this type of integrity. Rather, think of integrity as the banks to a river that is flowing throughout the land, offering living water everywhere it goes. So that appeal is basically saying integrity is not staleness. Integrity is a love from the heart that flows into a real world. So my appeal deals with integrity. One of the next-gen daughters in the faith that I walk with, and I host this, it's 10 years in a row now, Discerning Times and Seasons, Anna Warner, and she's a true seer and moves in a healing gift. And so I had 8 different people, share this year. And Anna had one word for us, only one word, and it was amazing. The Lord gave her one word, ramp. Religious systems will be challenged. What ails you before will be challenged and changed. Merging. You will merge with others. She was talking about streams coming together. Watch for mergers. And P, personal patterns. The Lord is calling people to break free from old personal patterns. There's a lot of ways of describing this, but this is so good. Just simple. R-A-M-P, ramp. Religious systems will be challenged. What ails you before will be challenged or changed. M, what mergers? Watch them. It's so important. And P, personal patterns, breaking free from these patterns. I have been interacting with a group called the Remnant Radio. And I did not, and this is, I didn't choose this, but I've been doing it for the last 5 to 6 years. And I believe that they have an aim of being integrous. Some people would not agree with that, and they have a reasonable following. I didn't know a thing about these guys. But my oldest son and my youngest daughter have followed them. And so they had some critical things to say about some of my words. Huh, well, you know what? That's kind of a compliment. That means they have listened to some of what I have. And I like to do that. I like to flip things. So, and then that's where the Mike Winger got on as a guest. And he's like, oh, that James Gall. And it came from out of when I gave a prophetic word and put it in print that it was in the first term of the presidency of Donald Trump that I had said that he was appointed, he was assigned, see, I got to use the right words, to call forth 3 Supreme Court justices in that first term, 3 Supreme Court justices that would be conservative, constitutional appointments that would tip the scales towards constitutional conservatism. And I put this in print. And then it came time, there was just 2 that had happened. And it looked like, you know, this that it was not going to happen, what I said, at all. And then Ginsburg, stepped aside only like 3 months or something. I have it all written out, just very articulate. And then, and so it revolved around that. And I even said that the 3rd one was going to be a modern day Esther. It would be a woman, be a modern day Esther, et cetera, et cetera. And so it was that is what kind of tipped the scale. And then this podcaster then took that word on. He goes, oh, that James Gall, he doesn't get any revelation. He just reads the newspapers. And that's how he gets these revelations, which was totally, because I don't read newspapers. If anybody knows me, I don't even surf the web. I don't do that. I only, on Facebook, I to this day only look at my oldest, Grace Ann, Tyler and Rachel's, once a month to be nice. And I might go visit Cindy Jacobs or something, you know? And I look at my own because nowadays I have to manage it. And that's about what I do. So if anybody really knows me, they know I am not getting my data from social media or from newspapers. And so anyway, I gotta be nice, okay? And so that is where the origins of me being the newspaper prophet. What became the problem is that other people heard that, listened to that, and then they picked it up, particularly next generation. And then I started becoming the fake prophet, the false prophet. And then so over the last 5 years, then in a certain circles, I became the newspaper fake false prophet, see? Because if it doesn't get tended to, and if they don't take care of the wrong stuff, then it gets, see, Leviathan goes to work or this. And that's what happened, okay? And so I've made appeals. And stuff. But here's what I have learned, okay? So this deals now with tending the garden and things of this nature. is that it deals with some interpretation of scriptures. It might deal with generational understandings. And I have come to discover that there is a difference of a view concerning interpretation and applications of Matthew 18. I believe, and I have been seeking out interpretations of Matthew 18, I think it's verse 20, but it is about you go to your brother. And so I've made appeals that appropriate that you go to those people first. But have you considered going to, a Bill Johnson or to a Chris Valentin or to a Cheon? Forget those. How about to me? And none of them have begun to seek me out. And so they believe that there is no responsibility, to go to the individual because they are using words that have been posted to the public. So if it has been posted to the public and it's public domain, then that bypasses personal responsibility. That's the way this argument, That's the way this goes. So we have a breakdown. Some of it might be generational. It's definitely a part of the complexities of a social media age. So here's some of my appeals. Where do you post what? I don't believe that a lot of the things that are being posted today are supposed to be posted on Facebook. I don't believe they're supposed to be posted on Instagram. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that every dream that some of my friends that I am an advisor to, and I try to speak into this, and we're working on it, I don't believe that everything is supposed to go out to everybody. It's supposed to be to your sphere. What is your sphere? And a lot of things are about you. Determine your sphere. Parameters, wisdom, applications. We have opened up a Pandora's box that now allows any and everything, and then the feeling that everything is free to be judged by whosoever. And in a certain manner, they're correct. Because there's a looseness in what we are. Now, so when I say we, I don't do this. I don't post everything that way. I don't do that. But we gotta learn. We need to relearn some boundaries, I believe. We need to probably come to a place of putting new guardrails in place. So in my sphere of ministry, I have now gone through where I have made some mistakes. Some endorsements that I wrote, a couple of forewords, and have worked with the publishing companies and have withdrawn all those publications. And they're being redone. And the problem would be like on an endorsement, though. The endorsement put in a book was in 2015, but the allegations came out in 2025. So if I'd known then, I would never have. But it's being read as though, so I have made an appeal, But that doesn't. You understand, this gets a little complex. But I have also trying to lean in from my sphere, what I'm responsible for, proclaimed wrongly, and that you're now saying is a false word that I, and they're literally saying that I need to repent for. I'm being transparent with you right now. And so they're saying, oh, well, it's, listen to this one. Declaring the billion soul harvest. Okay, okay, all right. And I said, well, the problem is, I didn't originate that word. I said, but have I echoed the word? Absolutely. So I have to take ownership for the word, even though I am not the originator. I said, but have you listened to other words that I gave? Like when I did the research for the conditions that needed to be met for when then the billion soul harvest of a demarcation would begin. Well, there's no answer, which I did at the Women on the Frontlines conference of the three demarcations. So, but my problem then is not everybody knows what I do. So I have made a commitment, which I have not acted on yet, but I need to. But I've made a commitment that there will be a review then done on the words where I make a declaration, then follow up later with a review with like my vice president, my board, and that type of thing, and go, hey, James, what about this word? Where's the fruit? Is there any adjustments that are needed? Because that is appropriate. And that is something that my generation has not done a good job of. And I'm not going to speak into anybody else's sphere, but I will speak into mine. That I'm making a decision to do follow-up on the billion soul harvest declaration and say, hey, three conditions, and there was the issue of the pay declaration. There was the issue that the mouth was covered, and we're only now stepping into the beginning of the fulfillment. But there needs to be, it's really true, explanation, or it sets up wrong expectation and then disappointment, and then that creates disillusionment in the prophetic of my generation. And there's a lot of that. So I can only do what I can do, which is take responsibility for my sphere. So I have gone to the publishing companies. Those books are being taken out of publication. New editions are being done, which is a cost to me. And then I'm going to do this other type thing, etc. And we'll continue to weed the garden, make the changes. I'm trying to speak into those that I have responsibility with. What changes can they make? Because I want to listen to the external policing, because the Lord has allowed it. But we need to, on another level, and I know I need to stop it, but the problem is, I have a lot to share, say, in this area. We need to then look at the spiritual dynamics. What is it on spiritual warfare that is working behind the scenes that we need to take care of to snuff the demonic voices that's motivating this witchcraft, Leviathan? We need to walk in the Sermon on the Mount, humble ourselves, receive the corrections. Don't walk in criticism ourselves. Don't fester the conflict and receive the conviction in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.